looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hopefully three, but we'll talk about it the next few days, and we decide what we want from him on Sunday. Not Nate. Everybody. Yeah, just like a regular game.
That's Alex Cora talking about Chris Sale, the expectations for him on Sunday. And again, a lot of this sound from Fenway Park is just rolling in here, so we're going to play some of it for you. But that's where we're going to begin tonight. Chris Sale back on the mound last night for the Red Sox. The good news is, in theory, I guess, the good news, it didn't appear that there was any sort of injury, residual, you know, or leftover is a better way to put it. Leftover ailment with Sale, for the most part, I would say. You know, the ball came out okay. There was velocity on it, that sort of stuff. But they wouldn't have sent him out there if there was any sort of issue. So I expected that part of it. But what I personally was concerned about with Chris Sale, honestly, is a little worse than I thought. Okay, and I'll explain that for you here in just a moment. But first, 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, you can open up the lines right away. And we'll get to your thoughts on the Red Sox, your thoughts on Chris Sale last night. And let me begin by telling you this. As it pertained to the performance last night in particular with Chris Sale, okay, he wasn't good. He wasn't good. And this idea that all of a sudden, you know, oh, it's okay, no problem, don't worry about it. This is where I disagree. I look at it and I think the road for him to get back into the Red Sox rotation, that road is longer than I thought. I thought that Chris Sale would come out last night and look better than he did, and he didn't look good. And to me, it was apparent about four or five pitches into the outing. You could see it. Sale's mechanics were out of whack. He wasn't in sync. And when I say that, I mean fastballs were going up and away. And then this happened two or three times. And then Sale tried to correct the problem and tried to pull the fastball back in. And he was going too far down and in. So the timing mechanism of his delivery was all out of whack. And the slider, and to me this is a big one too, flat. As a pancake, in fact, flat. If Chris Sale has the slider in the playoffs that he had last night, he'll get smacked around by the just like he did by the Houston Astros last year. You can bank on that. Because last night, his slider wasn't very, very good. And, again, the fastball all over the place. So, if you want to just write it off as rust, that's fine. But remember that the Red Sox basically have three outings for Sale between now and his postseason start on October 5th. He'll probably throw a simulated game during the week leading up to the playoff game. Okay, you'll see that. But in terms of real game action, three starts left. And if I heard Cora correctly, they say he's going to pitch three innings on Sunday. Is that what they're going with? Three innings? You know what three innings is in a normal situation or scenario? 45 pitches. 45 pitches. Then the start after that. What are they going to do, bump him up to 65 and then 80? That doesn't feel like enough to me. I thought they'd be farther along. So they sent him out to the bullpen last night after they took him on the mound. I just didn't think Sale was great, which leaves more ground to cover than I thought. So with that in mind, let me ask you as a Red Sox fan, I want to play more of this Cora sound here in a minute, but I want to throw this question to you as out there as a Red Sox follower and fan right now. If you had to decide today, assume that Sale was stretch out, okay? Assume that he could pitch, throw 100 pitches. The Sale of last night or David Price, who gets the ball in game one? Okay, and, to me, if Sale is what he was a month and a half ago, no-brainer. But as of right now, based on last night, who's throwing the ball better? And to me, the answer is Price. Now, I don't know that I'm pitching him in game one. I need to think about that one a little bit more. But this could be the kind of scenario that the Red Sox are faced with in 3 weeks. Okay, scary, right? If you think of it in those terms. 617-779-0985. Let's play a little bit of this chorus on from Fenway just so you can get an idea of the tone of his comments and the general sentiment regarding Chris Sale. So we're doing this sort of on the fly. So I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to play Cora pregame number one. If you would, Jimmy, this is Cora giving an update on Chris Sale.
He feels fine. He's going to play catch today, throw in a bullpen on Friday, and we go from there. But everything seems that he's okay, just regular soreness. So I guess day one after the start, it was a positive.
Okay, so again, all indications are that Sale today is okay, no major issues there, and that it's a normal post-start kind of day for him. Remember, though, that the last time he started, he got 2 or 3 days out and had to throw and then couldn't throw. He went out to play catch, and he had residual soreness that he did not expect. It hung over longer than they expected or than Sale expected. So the Red Sox might not even have a great answer on this until tomorrow or Friday. Cora was further asked about Sale and about what he expected him from him on Sunday. Jimmy, this is number 9, if you would. Again, Cora on Sale and what he expects from him this weekend.
No, he's encouraged. Yeah. I mean, yesterday he was his first big league outing, kind of like he was all over the place, and he admitted it. You know, the game's kind of like sped up on him right away, you know, double, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, so I got to compete, but he'll be fine. You know, at the end, he struck out 2 and do somebody, you know, a pop-up, so I know Sunday will be better.
Okay, so again, I think we all hope that Sunday will be better. Because if the Red Sox are going to make a real run at the World Series, obviously their chances improve exponentially with Chris Sale on the mound. And if you think I am being too critical of Sale, first of all, you heard Cora say it right there. He was all over the place. He was all over the place. Those are the exact words I used to Jim Murray and Felger this morning in an email that I sent out. Sale was all over the place. You know who he looked like to me on the mound in terms of the fastball command? Kimbrel. When Kimbrel's not right, like it wasn't quite that bad. But when Kimbrel's not right, he jerks the ball left, and then he leaves it up high and outside to the lefty. Like, to me, that's what Sale felt like on the mound last night. And further, Dennis Eckersley and Dave O'Brien during the broadcast last night had a commentary on Sale as they went along that, frankly, I thought was pretty candid, particularly from Eckersley. Not that that should surprise you. I asked Jimmy Stewart, our producer, together. We pulled some of it this morning. Jimmy butted them together. And here was the commentary they made on Sale. Remember, this was in the first inning now because he only pitched 1. Okay, so Sale only threw 26 pitches, and yet it occurred to them as they were watching this, exactly what occurred to me watching it on my sofa at home, and actually had to watch the first inning on my computer this morning because obviously I was in the car on the way home while Sale was on the mound at Fenway. So here's what Eck and O'Brien said during the broadcast.
He drills that one in there at 95, 2-2. The signs of some early rust here. 16 pitches, 9 strikes for Chris Sale.
Slower pace, too.
Slower pace, yeah, no question, than we are used to seeing with him. 2 down, a man at second. And nice scoop by Sandy Leon to save that one.
Once again, you see that slider, big break on it, but just not crisp. It doesn't seem crisp, does it?
Yep, no question, and predictable. And a 2-1 to Morales. That'll miss. 96, so the fastball accuracy not quite there yet. And a 3-1 from Crystal. And that gets him. That hits him.
I mean, the big sweeping breaking balls that we've seen. This one, probably the biggest of them all. And finally got him on the foot. He almost got him a couple of pitches ago. This one, he's got nowhere to go. Hits him on the shin. But, you know, you got a guy in scoring position more than anything else. I think that's why you're not seeing him working in a fast pace. He hasn't been there in a while anyway. He's just pacing himself a little bit. He doesn't want to make a mistake. Normally, nobody on. He's just going after guys.
Okay, so look, they covered a lot of ground there, but I thought Eck and O'Brien nailed it. O'Brien saw it earlier on, fastball command not there. Now, he did go out of his way to say, no, nah, as you would expect. I expected some rust from Sale. I didn't expect that much. And the slider, flat. Flat, like a manhole cover, for crying out loud. And he hit a batter on top of it. And you heard Eck say it. Maybe the most interesting observation of all, Sale was working slowly. He was deliberate. This guy, when he's rolling, gets it and guns it, man, inside of 15 seconds between pitches. He gets it and guns it. So now he had a base runner early in the game right out of the gate. The ball went over Betts' head, bounced up against the bullpen. So maybe he slowed down with a man on, like, oh, here we go. All of a sudden I'm in a jam. And maybe he starts thinking about winning the game when he really should just be thinking about delivering the baseball. Whatever it was, I'm telling you, he didn't look confident on the mound. Okay, he looked out of sorts. He didn't look confident. Nonetheless, I think he's healthy. He's expected to start on Sunday. But I will tell you, again, to me, more ground to cover than I expected with Sale. I know he only had thrown 68 pitches in 45 days. It was that start in Baltimore. But between the side work and everything else, I thought would be a little further along. That was erratic, and that's being kind. He was not good last night. For him, that was awful. So keep that in mind. Again, this is a guy who just pumps in there one strike after another, and that slider, he's got to have that. Now, you want a scary thought? It took Sale. Remember, they really slowed Sale down this year in spring training. It took him until June until he really hit his stride. 2 months. I'm not saying he was bad in April, but before he became vintage Sale, it was June. It was June. Now, it is September 12th. The playoffs start in 3 weeks, and last night looked like more of a spring training outing. In fact, I would say early spring. Let's hope it comes back fast. As for the Red Sox, they wrapped up a playoff spot last night. Early, real early. ESPN had an interesting statistic on early clinching teams and how they have fared in the postseason, which to me should really open your eyes when it comes to the Red Sox in October. We'll touch on that as well. 617-779-0985 is your number. We'll get to your calls next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2-2 on Brock Holt.
So the Red Sox try to steal a run here, too. There they go.
Runner goes Nunez. High fly ball right field. Deep into the corner. Gretschig long run, and it is gone! How about that?
I think Cora made the right decision.
That is the second pinch hit home run of the season, and has put the Red Sox in the lead.
So that's just how it's been going for the Red Sox really all year long. Alex Cora had Mitch Moreland in the on-deck circle to pinch hit last night. Then he pulls him back and says, what am I doing? He explained after the game that he didn't want Moreland to bat against a left-handed reliever. And he thought that if he sent Moreland up, they'd bring in the lefty. So he thought, well, I'll send Holt up. I'll go with that matchup instead. Holt against the lefty. As it was, the Blue Jays left the righty on the mound. And Brock Holt jacks one to the 380-foot sign. Little Brock Holt. All 5'8" and 170 pounds of him, or whatever he is, jacks him just to the right of the 380-foot sign. Three-run homer, Red Sox win the game. Just the way it's been going all year. They can't make mistakes if they want to, or they can't lose if they want to. Again, not that that's their fault, but they are having that kind of season. So, Holt homers, and the Red Sox win another game, their 99th victory, and they clinch a playoff spot in the process. No small thing. Okay, now, it's the play-in game. The magic number for the division is 9. So any combination of Red Sox wins and Yankees losses, totaling 9, and it's over. Frankly, I think by this time next week it could be done. Okay, or by the end of next week. 2 weeks to go. That's a rarity to clinch a division with that much time left. Really, Red Sox are in an extremely unusual position here and fortuitous position to be able to rest their pitching the way they're going to be able to rest it during the month of September. You almost never see it happen like this. So 99 victories. The Red Sox are the first team to clinch a playoff spot, which brings me to this. And you tell me whether you're out of my mind, and then we'll get to your phone calls. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll give you that stat in a minute. Let's get to your phone calls first. Chuck's in a car. Chuck, what do you got?
Hey, K-Maz. Hey, it's pretty obvious the bullpen we have today is not going to be the bullpen in the playoffs. So my question is...
Wait a minute. Why? Hold on, Chuck. Why is that obvious? Yeah.
Well, it's obvious because they're going to move guys around. I mean, some guys in the start, well, my assumption, some guys in the starting rotation are going to move to the bullpen. Clearly, what Cora's got now isn't working. He's kind of auditioning guys the way he's pulling guys in and out and based on the spots he's using them. So I guess I wanted your opinion, see, if you agree or if you don't, who do you think, stays and who goes?
Okay,
I mean,
so
do they kick in a...
Yeah, so yeah. Chuck, and forgive me, I'm not trying to jump down your throat. I understand that there's some auditioning right now, but the reality is, other than Nathan Eovaldi, who pitched in relief last night, I think what you see is what you get.
It's, really?
Yes.
Wait a second. Now, unless Barnes comes off the DL, say he comes off the DL, he's going to make the roster?
Yes.
Kelly's going to make the roster?
Yep.
So can everybody? I mean, aren't there going to be some? Just because you can't take everybody?
Okay, so the point is that, the bullpen's going to be different. I don't think it is. I think it's going to be Kelly, Barnes. Now, look, it depends on how many relievers they carry, but let's say seven. Okay, let's say they carry seven relievers. Kelly, Barnes, Kimbrell, Hembree, Thornburg, who am I leaving out? Eovaldi, and there's one more. So, I'm just rattling them off the top of my head. So, I don't know, maybe they carry a 12th and it's a left-handed pitcher. Maybe it's Pointer. Maybe it's Johnson. But there's no new bodies walking through that door.
No, I don't understand where he thinks they're coming from.
Well, see, so this is my point. What you have is what you get. And while we're on the topic, Alex Cora actually addressed the bullpen again before tonight's game. Here's the latest thing he said about his relief corps.
Our bullpen's been good. We trust these guys, but at the same time, obviously, we got to see what we can do in certain situations. September baseball is a lot different than August. I'm learning that. There's so many options that sometimes it's like, going to the candy store. I want this. I want that. I want this. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, what are we doing here?
Okay, so now Cora says, and he's right, you have more options in September, and he has done some auditioning. Brian Johnson got some lefties the other night. Hembree came in with inherited runners on. Stephen Wright came in and got the seventh and the eighth. Hembree's been getting inherited runners all year. But, he's tried a couple of different things, but how's the personnel going to change? So they're going to need four starters. Okay, in the playoffs, you're going to have four starters. We'll see how Eduardo Rodriguez does down the stretch here, but I think he's going to be one of them. Now, if he's in the pen, everything changes. But other than that, again, Eovaldi, we'll see. It's the same cast of characters you've had all year long. The caller to me sounded like he was surprised that Barnes was going to be in the bullpen. Barnes is going to be in there. Barnes might be the eighth inning guy. I think the part of the reason the Red Sox are resting him is because they think he's going to be their eighth inning guy. Jay's in Beverly. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, Maz, you mentioned that you felt last night was kind of like
spring training game for Sale, yeah.
I think their approach to the next few weeks is going to be like that because they have the luxury of having such a lead in the division. Now, when it comes to Price and Sale, if Sale is as rusty as he was, you said, in preseason, it took him a while to get going, they might be screwed because if he looks anything like he did last night, his confidence is not going to be there. So I think Sale might even have better stuff than Price, but his confidence isn't going to be there. And obviously everyone knows that confidence in starting pitching, especially in the playoffs, is vital.
Yeah, Jay, so to me it's not totally about the confidence. He's got better stuff than Price does. And when you say we could be screwed, this is sort of my point. The road to cover for Sale is a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. That felt like early spring training to me. So again, now, if they ramp him up, are you going to get I guess the best way to put it is, if that was spring training, then what you are headed for is the Sale of April, which I think is okay. I'm not telling you it's horrible because his first few starts of the year were good. But he wasn't as dominating as he was in June. So I would like the Sale of June. I thought that that's what they were targeting. It feels to me now like the expectation or the goal is going to come down because I don't think Sale is going to be, I don't know if they have enough time to get him in peak form. I hope they do. I hope that last night was just, a blip. But he felt, he was... The setback with him was bigger than I thought. I don't know any other way to put it. Jesse is in Easton. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Awesome. So obviously this isn't the ideal scenario, and I don't wish it to happen. However, let's say that the clock runs out on being able to get Chris Sale up to the pitch count that they need to get him to. Could we possibly see a scenario similar to David Price last year where Sale ends up coming out of the bullpen in sort of like an Andrew Miller role?
Okay, so Jesse, you're not the first one to suggest this, and again, I rule out nothing. Okay, I rule out nothing. You never know what the heck is going to happen. So if they run out of time, sure. If they run out of time, I'm going to blame them, though. Because Sale should be starting. Sale should be able to give them eight. I'll take eight innings of Sale in a start versus two from game to game, because I don't think their starting pitching is good enough without him to win. So, and I would say they mismanaged it because they should have started the process sooner, or they shouldn't have pitched him in Baltimore to set the whole thing back further. One or the other. If Sale can't start in October, part of the problem is they mismanaged it. The injury might be worse than we think. It doesn't feel that way. They're planning on pitching him on Sunday. They sent him out to the bullpen last night after they took him out of the game. Cora keeps telling us that Sale is fine. But if he can't go as a starter,
you're not maximizing him at his best. I mean, obviously the precedent was set last year that you can do that kind of thing with David Price, but you're better off having him as a starter. That's just fact.
Again, Murray, if that happens, they mismanaged it. They either brought him back in Baltimore when they shouldn't have, or they started this process too late. Okay, it's one or the other. And if that happens, you want to talk negativity?
Oh, no, they're all but doomed without him as a starter.
Just quickly, before we get to the headlines, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast, as you know, whenever you want on our website at 985thesportshub.com. Also on your phone with the Sports Hub app, which is fabulous. If you don't have it, you should get it. In addition, you can listen to the Hardcore Baseball podcast with Matt McCarthy, who absolutely knows his stuff. Baseball talk when you want it, always here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. When we come back, we'll get to those teams that have clinched early in the wild card era and tell you how they have fared in the postseason. We'll do that next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5.
Most amazing baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here's the 3-1. And a high fly ball into right center. Backing up Bradley. Jackie there. He's got it. And the Red Sox have won it. A come-from-behind win, 7-2. The final win number 99 brings with it a postseason berth. That's locked up tonight.
So Red Sox are in. They're in the postseason. Qualified for the one-game play-in game last night, but last night's win, they locked up a wild card spot. Magic number is 9 to wrap up the division. That should happen sometime end of next week, would be my guess, unless the Yankees get on some sort of ridiculous winning streak. I think that that's what you're going to be looking at. Maybe next Friday, something like that. The Red Sox should end up as a division champion sometimes at the end of next week. And again, they are the first team to clinch a playoff spot. We'll get back to your calls here in 1 second. Just indulge me here for a moment. On the worldwide leader last night, I saw this stat. Actually, I saw it in a story this morning on ESPN. Okay, of the ESPN looked at the 25 teams earliest to clinch a playoff spot in the wild card era since 1995. Okay, the 25 teams that were earliest to clinch a playoff spot in the wild card era since 1995. Of those 25, you know how many of them lost in the first round? Half. 12. Okay, so if you go purely by these numbers, there's a 50% chance that the Red Sox get out of the first round. It's a coin flip. 50-50 if you go by these numbers. Now, again, you want to start adding other elements and variables into the equation? Fine. I'm just telling you, based on this research, coin flip in the first round. Then, of the 25, 7 made it to the World Series. Okay, so that's what, about 30%? 28%, actually, exactly. 28% made it to the World Series. 5 of them won it all. So of those 25 teams, 20% won the World Series, 28 percent got to the World Series, which feels like if you get there, the chances of you winning it are actually pretty good. And those teams, the Cubs in 2016, the Red Sox in 2013, the 09 Yankees, the 07 Red Sox, and the 1998 Yankees. Okay, so oddly enough, four of those teams from the American League East. But just something to consider, because I know that it's nice to clinch early and everything, but the point is, October, totally different game. Completely new brand of baseball against better competition, and winning the 100-some-odd games, that doesn't get you any sort of advantage at all, really, in October, other than being able to rest your pitching. Mike is in Amesbury. Mike, what do you got?
Hi. So I know a lot of people have been really down on the Red Sox bullpen, but honestly, I think that Cora is kind of underutilized some people. I think Bobby Poynter, I'm not really sure why he got sent down for as long as he did. I mean, you guys have the wheel of gutless bums, mostly about walks, and he only has two walks since he's been up here. I honestly think Brian Brazier can play a big role as well. I just want to hear your thoughts on those two guys.
Okay, so Mike, before I let you go, did you see Brazier in the Astros series?
I did.
Okay, what'd you think of him?
I mean, his overall stats are good.
No, I know, but I didn't ask about the overall stats. I asked about the Astros series. He wasn't good. And so this is sort of the point, is that if you look at the stats, they all have half-decent stats. The walks are high. Brazier walks fewer guys. But are we going to trust him against Houston or New York in the eighth inning? Jimmy Stewart, our producer, had a stat the other day. The Red Sox ERA in the eighth inning against the other four playoff teams is 5.5. Against Houston, I think it's 9. And the Yankees is almost 6. So against quality competition, who's going to be that guy between the starter and Kimbrel? They're going to need another reliever other than Kimbrel to rely on. And it's got to get to the point where Cora doesn't bat an eye and say, okay, I'm going to this guy, here's the ball. And that's it. And none of it, there's going to be no decision-making involved. They do not have that.
They're all the same.
Now, Poynter, look, you tell me you want to carry a 12th pitcher and throw a situational lefty in there? Fine. He's the 25th man. He's not getting the eighth inning. So again, think of that. You go all year and all of a sudden Bobby Poynter is going to be the guy in October? It just, I'm going to need some convincing on that one. Nate's in a car. Go ahead, Nate.
Thanks, Mass, for taking my call, first of all. You mentioned earlier about the Red Sox, they mismanaged, they might mismanage Sale. I want to know how much of that blame goes on Alex Cora, how much of that blame goes on Dombrowski, because if Dombrowski doesn't get a reliever, so that's a big black mark. But what is worse, the fact that did he think about Sale into the equation? I mean, you need Sale. If you don't have Sale, you're not going anywhere. They're doomed if Sale is no good. So it seems like he's the bigger investment. I can't believe they would have mismanaged that. That's like the most valuable asset on their team.
So Nate, when I say they mismanage it, I'm talking about getting him into pitching condition again. Either they started this process too late, or they shouldn't have pitched him in Baltimore when they did and he had the setback. That doubled the time. It more than doubled the time that he missed. So they pitched him in Baltimore, and then it flared up again. Well, I don't think there's any gray area there. You look at him and say, you shouldn't have pitched in Baltimore. So now I put that in part on the medical staff. Like, you know, I don't know if Dana Lavangi's involved or Alex Cora's involved or whatever. Maybe Sale comes out of this fine. It's no big issue at all. I don't put a lot of that one on Dombrowski. Because I don't think there's really any way to, there's no replacement for Chris Sale. You can go out and get a reliever. If you don't have Chris Sale, it's not really going to matter. Now, where I blame Dombrowski is if anywhere in this postseason they lose because their bullpen's not good enough, and when I say lose, meaning get eliminated, and their bullpen is the reason, that's on Dombrowski. Whether it happens in the World Series, the Division Series, the LCS, it doesn't matter. If their bullpen ultimately does them in, that's on Dombrowski. Unless Cora makes some sort of colossal managerial gaffe, which with this bullpen I don't foresee. Unless all of a sudden they get on a hot streak and he pulls a Grady Little.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.